huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Oh boy, it's finally August, the 3rd of August, 2025. You know what that means? It's officially football season. We've had a football game. We've had a professional football game played this weekend. I don't know if you count the Hall of Fame game as a professional football game, but it's close enough. I saw NFL jerseys, so we're back officially. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen, we're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We're streaming live. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. Also on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. A special two-hour edition today. So up till noon, we got you covered on your Sunday drive. And we got an NFL-oriented show today because we want to get away with some of futures, our picks. We'll take some superlatives previews. We'll give out a couple awards, preseason prediction awards. And also, we got two big trade requests to break down. Cade, how are you today? Does it feel good that we're back in August and we're down to the dead period of the July, that godforsaken month of July for the sports fan?
Woo! I am pumped up, Colin. This is the most wonderful time of the year. It's officially August. Football's back. I don't care what the haters want to say about preseason. The NFL is here. Let's go, baby.
Couple weeks until we see some college football, high school football in Palm Beach County. Treasure Coast is back, and you got the NFL in close. Two full swing. Every team's in training camp. You're going to have joint practices coming up pretty soon. Got a lot to look forward to. And now that we're in August, there's no better time to download the Hard Rock Bet app. Go to the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Download Hard Rock today. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started. You got a feeling about today's game in the NFL or in the MLB, or you want to take a future in the NFL? You could turn your predictions into an epic payday on Hard Rock Bet. And right now, you get $150 in bonus bets by just placing a $5 bet. You heard that right. That's $5 you bet on a Hard Rock Bet right now, and you get $150 in bonus bets additionally. Take advantage of that because baseball season is in full swing post-trade deadline. Friday night was one of the better nights of baseball that we've had in quite some time. You had that triumphant Marlins comeback against the Yankees over at Lone Depot Park, and then Lone Depot Park basically sold out yesterday on a 2-0 win against the Yankees as well. So people are flocking to go watch the Yankees and the Marlins play, and that was a great, great game that we saw there. So post-trade deadline has been very interesting now that you got some new faces in some new places. College football is back this month. You got massive matchups to kick off the season first week where you're starting off with a couple bangs. So you better honestly take advantage of some of the odds that you can see on the app now because it's all open, it's all available, and you can play some futures. That's Hard Rock Bet for you. Again, $150 in bonus bets if you just deposit $5. Try it now. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present. Info to the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling. Call 1-888-MINUTE. All right. Big story from over the early parts of the weekend was Terry McLaurin requested a trade out of the Washington Commanders, and he's looking for a new contract. And somebody's 29 years old. They're trying to get him locked down. And Micah Parsons did just about the same. I said it on Friday, is it really the NFL if we don't have a disgruntled edge rusher and a disgruntled receiver trying to get a new contract and on a trade request? Is it really the NFL if we don't have that? So that's that. Now that you know the season is back. Now, the Micah Parsons trade request was something that was cards close to chest until it wasn't. And Micah Parsons released a pretty detailed retelling of just how the last 6 months have went between the conversations between him and the Cowboys. Long story short, Micah Parsons had conversations with Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, who is the guy, they're both the guys who run the Cowboys, and they had some, handshake, talking, discussion points about what a contract for him would look like, what an extension for him would look like. And after that point, Micah thought he made it clear that, hey, we're just having conversations here. My agent is going to do all that heavy lifting here once the negotiations finally come. Now, the agent, of course, says, hey, Miles Garrett might get signed. TJ Watt might get signed. Max Crosby might get signed. Wait, we'll get a contract later, and you're probably going to get yourself an extra $20 million because of it. And he's right. Now it came to this, where we're at the second week of training camp, and apparently, according to Micah Parsons, the Cowboys front office has not, one word, said anything to Micah Parsons and his agent. There has not been one conversation about a contract negotiation between the Cowboys front office and Micah Parsons' agent, according to Micah. And Micah at this point just thought this is a waste of time. So he said officially on that same post, which you can find in social media, I do not want to be here anymore. I do not want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. This is too much of a headache. I wanted to stay here. I love playing for this team. But the fact that there's some sort of misunderstanding that my conversation with Jerry Jones 4 months ago was some sort of end-all, be-all negotiation for what the contract would look like. And then when an actual agent, licensed agent, gets involved, it's no go. This is par for the course for the Cowboys, unfortunately. This happens, I feel like, every single year with them. There is always somebody that they're trying to figure out how to pay, or they're waiting to the last possible second to pay. And now Micah Parsons, who's a 26-year-old edge-rushing superstar who's only missed about five games in his career, he's an Ironman, and he's had a dozen-plus sacks in every single year his first 4 years, which is the only first player since Reggie White to do that. Reggie White, who's the sack leader, by the way. And now he has officially entered himself into the trade market. Now, Jerry Jones responded to this, and he said, if I say anything to the fans, I would say, don't lose sleep over this report. And whether that means that's just Jerry in his own world, and he's got this blind optimism that Micah Parsons is going to come rumbling back, or Jerry Jones is going to cough up the money that Micah Parsons probably deserves, and Mike is just going to sign it. Cade, could you see, how about this, make a prediction right now. Will Micah Parsons be on the Dallas Cowboys come week one?
Yes, he will.
You think he'll sign in the next week?
That I can't say, because literally Dak Prescott signed on the first day of football last season.
Right.
So I don't want to put a timetable to it.
But you think he's going to sign an extension with the Dallas Cowboys at least before we see some football?
I think Jerry Jones will at least cough up the money. That is my prediction on what will happen. My thoughts on what should happen, I think Micah Parsons should get out of there as fast as possible.
Because the Cowboys are a difficult franchise to deal with, or they're not going anywhere?
Both.
Okay.
I think that nothing good is going to happen with him in the front office, even post-contract. I think this team is not making the right moves to succeed as a franchise as a whole. They're not signing the right guys. They're not getting themselves any better, especially when the rest of their division and the rest of the conference is getting substantially better each and every draft and each and every free agency. I think we're all predicting them to finish, what, third, potentially last in their division this upcoming season.
Now, keep this in mind. They were hurt to Kingdom Come last year. It was a different coach team. I know McCarthy's out of there. They got Schottenheimer in there. And they still were a half bad team.
They weren't half bad. But did the team feel like that? Did the team feel like they had a chance? There was never any energy out of this team. When they were winning 12 games a season, you always went into the postseason thinking maybe this was the Cowboys' season.
Right.
Midway through last year, even with Dak Prescott a little bit healthy, no one ever really felt that. No one felt like this was the team to do it, or these guys had a chance this upcoming postseason, with the NFC North doing as well as it was, with the NFC South doing pretty good, with the Atlanta Falcons making a good run. The Dallas Cowboys were left in the mud, left to mediocrity like they had been the previous decade. We got treated with those 12-win seasons, those three-in-a-row 12-win seasons. I think they'll go right back to 8-9, 9-8, missing the playoffs, being a name in the NFL.
I'm under the impression here that I agree with you on the first part. Micah Parsons will be a Dallas Cowboy by the end of this. But I also say on the other side, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be bad if everybody's healthy. I don't trust the coach, Brian Schottenheimer, so I think there's probably going to be some growing pains there. But on the flip side, talking about Micah specifically, I think every team in the NFL should call for him. If they are going to field calls, and I bet they would, because you never know when you get that offer you can't refuse, because he's going to warrant that. The only comparison is what, Khalil Mack, when the Bears traded him for him and gave up two first-rounders, a third-rounder, and like a fifth-rounder. And Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons is probably a little bit better and younger than Khalil Mack at this point. He's going to require, he's going to warrant, you know, two day one picks, maybe a player, and probably an additional pick after that. That's probably what we're looking at. I think every team should call for him. I really do. This type of player, when Myles Garrett requested, made a trade request, it was weird because that's like an all-time great that's trying to be on a great team. Micah just wants to get out of there. Myles Garrett made it simple that I want to win Super Bowls. You know, the Arizona Cardinals trading for me doesn't make a lot of sense. But with Micah here, I don't think Jerry would be afraid, or Stephen Jones would be afraid to trade him for the right price, because, but on the flip side, that puts a lot of pressure on Dallas, because if they get, you know, three picks in return, who's to say that any of those three picks, Micah Parsons is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. What's to say that any of those three picks will be Hall of Fame players? That's where you get risky. And you already got a quarterback that's sort of in the prime of his career and a receiver that's sort of in the prime of his career and a lot of players on your roster that are sort of in their primes, and you're going to let a huge piece defensively kind of walk out the door. I don't know if that's the right move, but that's a Cowboy decision. I think every other team should make a call.
That I disagree with you on. Not necessarily because of the picks, but because of the contract. I don't think there are... Okay, let me say this. I don't think that all 31 other teams are able to take a Micah Parsons contract right
now. That's true. But making room for contracts is a lot easier than it used to be in the NFL. Switching to signing bonuses, trying to get rid of... You're getting rid of a player on top of that, so you're going to offload contracts on one side. But I agree with you. Maybe there are certain teams that are so in cap hell that they just can't even make it work.
Like the Bengals are not taking Micah Parsons.
No.
But there's other teams like that, what I'm saying.
Yes, you're right. Let me rephrase. For teams that could afford it, at least the contract part of it.
There's nothing else about Micah Parsons himself as a person or a player that warrants people not calling him.
You get what, and also just for the value. Like that, this is somebody who plays, he missed four games last year. Other than that, the guy doesn't miss games.
Plays multiple positions on that defense.
He forces turnovers. He gets to the quarterback. He's good in open field. He does a little bit of everything.
Yep.
And he's young. He's 26. So if you sign him to a 4 or 5 year contract, it's going to be through the 30, 31 years old. That's through the prime of his career.
All right. So let's just say we obviously agree that not everyone can take him, but where do you see him as the best fit besides Dallas? Obviously, both you and I think that Jerry Jones is going to cough up the money eventually.
Right.
It's going to be something ludicrous. But hypothetically, we're talking straight football here. Where are we thinking is the best place for Micah Parsons to be in order to make that team true Super Bowl contenders?
I would say, so let's define what he does for a team. Edge rushers are, in my opinion, sort of like the great running back, sort of like the great receiver, in the sense that they can make a good team great. Great edge rushers don't make a bad team good. Think about Max Crosby. Mm. He doesn't make the Raiders good.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett does not make the Browns good.
Yeah.
They make good teams great. Mm. That's where they're really valuable. Mm. So because of that, I'm thinking the best fit for him is a team that's good, that wants to be great. The first team that popped in my head, and it's also in the other conference, which makes sense, is the LA Chargers. It's the first team that popped into my head.
Okay.
And I say this because that's a team that probably, if they roll out today with the guys they have, they're probably winning 10 games. You know, 10, maybe 11 if they're overachieving. You get Micah Parsons in the fold and he plays, that seems a lot more dangerous really quickly.
Mm.
And that's a team that's trying to become great in a great division too.
Mm.
The Broncos loaded up. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. Chargers need to sort of make a splash. And I know they got Harbaugh sitting there, but that's, in my opinion, makes a lot of sense for both sides because it's on the other conference and it's for a team that really could use that next step up to being great. Another team that I was thinking of, like, I'm going to be honest, bias aside, I'll say it quickly. I think Jaguars should call him too.
Oh, for sure. They at least give him the call.
Because Jacksonville has two good edge rushers, so they could replace an edge rusher with him. and then they could give picks on top of that. They can make it work. I don't know if they would, but that's just neither here nor there. I think that makes a ton of sense. And I was always wondering if the Ravens would ever make a call like that. I don't know if they could afford him, but he screams Raven to me.
As a player, 100%.
Yeah, he screams Raven. And for a team that is probably a little better than good, probably really, really good, but trying to be great, that's the type of move you make.
I think this is an easy one for the Green Bay Packers.
I agree with that. And now I don't know if the Cowboys, I don't know how much they care about trading interconference. That's the one I did
that
bring
is
that
a
up.
Team that
good that's trying to be great.
100%. Ridiculously young, needs some defensive front help. They've got the weapons on the outside. Jordan Love is looking good. They've got a running back, obviously, in Josh Jacobs. You just lost Jair Alexander. Now you need some more help on the defense in a division that's going to have a hungry Lions team looking to get back into the big dance. The Bears are on the up and up with a lot of big moves. The Packers, outside of a really good draft, I didn't really think they made a whole bunch of great moves to really elevate themselves past the wild card spot. This would be insane for them.
So according to the odds, which is, you know, all over the place, Cowboys are obviously the odds on favorite, -300 to secure him back. The Eagles are 10-1. That's the best odds, tied with the Patriots to get him. Could you imagine?
So I thought Patriots, but then you said bad teams to...
Right. But Patriots, Patriots is another one for me because, number one, they have the most cap space in the league by a wide margin, so they could easily afford him.
Yes.
And the one thing that kind of gets me off of that is they just gave Milton Williams like $115 million, and he probably didn't deserve that. And they did that in the offseason and free agency. But that's a team that's looking to sort of make a splash quickly because they did almost everything right in the offseason. They got the right coach in there. They get the second-year quarterback. They don't have to pay him yet, so therefore they could afford Micah Parsons right now. They just drafted a franchise left tackle. They have a smattering of pieces defensively. They spent a ton of money in free agency. This makes a lot of sense for them, too, and they're in a bad division. Other than Buffalo, that Miami and the Jets are going to stink.
Yes.
So they're well in the hunt for a decent wild card position if they could put together a solid roster. I think people are higher on the Patriots this year than probably they deserve, but that's another team that I could see overreaching and thinking, all right, we're close. We're not good trying to become great yet, but we'll be good next year.
Yeah.
And if he's involved with us, that's all we need.
You would sell him on the future.
You would sell him on that. 10-1 for the Patriots, 10-1 for the Eagles. The Chargers are 15-1. The Cardinals are 16-1. And the Niners and the Rams wrap it up at 16-18-1. So no Packers there. And I'm surprised by that too, because I think it makes more sense for Packers. Packers don't make a trade like that, though. They rarely make moves
like that. It's unlike them. You're 100%
correct. It's unlike them. So that's not their type of thing. They like those first-round picks. They want to save those. But this has Rams written all over it too.
Yep.
Because the Rams have a ton of young players, and they don't care. They don't give a damn about their picks. But I can't imagine the Eagles doing this. I'm surprised the odds on. Now, Howie Roseman is the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, loves to take a swing like this. But I can't imagine. Imagine the Eagles in 2 years taking the best player on the Giants and then winning a Super Bowl with him, and then taking probably the best player on the Cowboys and probably going to win another Super Bowl.
This is the stuff of legends right here.
I don't know.
Documentaries in the making.
It'd be the most hated. Oh, God, it's ridiculous. I don't understand. They'd have to give them an offer they cannot refuse, because first-round picks are not that valuable for the Eagles, because the Eagles are going to be picking 31 or 32 for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So they'd have to give up a ton. Now, they probably have defensive players that could sort of offset with that. The Eagles are a team that they like to get the sort of Island of Misfit toy and then make him work when their system. You know, think Zach Bond. I don't know if they'd go after the big haymaker defensively like that. Offensively, they love that. They love the big star, A.J. Brown, the Saquon Barkley's. But I'd be surprised if they gave up all that capital to an interdivision. The Cowboys are going to hang up the phone unless they, what? You're handing us this? You're going to give us 3 first-round picks and then a player and then another third? All right, we have to take this. So I would be surprised with that. I think the Chargers make a ton of sense. The team that could the team that can most utilize his services is the Chargers. I think that is by and large, and the Packers are sort of the Chargers of the other conference.
Yes, 100%.
In a tough division, sort of looking to break through. Everybody has questions about the quarterback. You trust the head coach. They got youth everywhere. I think that makes a lot of sense as well. But the Packers don't make trades like that. The Chargers, I don't know if they would either, but that would make a ton of sense for both sides. Micah Parsons, official trade request. Now, Kate and I are just floating these ideas. We're both under the impression that Mike is all upset. He's all unhappy, similar to how Myles Garrett was unhappy until he sees $165 million guaranteed on a contract. And he's like, what do I sign? That's probably where it's going to go.
Yep.
That's probably what's going to happen. Even Myles Garrett wanted to get out of the Browns for legacy purposes, and they still got him to stay just off of money. Micah Parsons likes the Cowboys. He grew up a Cowboy fan, and it's a good team. All they got to do is give him the money he's asking for.
Pretty much.
And they will eventually. I don't know why Jerry Jones does this. I don't know if he's trying to make a story out of it. I don't know if he's just costing himself money. J.J. Watt had a great tweet about this when this first came out. J.J. Watt goes, just take care of your best players. That's all it takes. Take care of your best players, because the longer you wait, the more unhappy they get and the more expensive they get. And he's 100% right. That's Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3. We got the NFL season kicking off in just about a month, and we'll do more preview as we get closer to that date. But what we're going to do right now on the flip side is let's take some odds picks and let's make some predictions. What I mean by that is let's say individual major awards in the NFL. We'll make our official predictions for the 2025-26 season. That means offensive player of the year. That means MVP. That means coach of the year. All that good stuff. All that fun stuff. Let's do that on the flip side, Kate. That's Kate Chums and Colin Russo. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. ESPN 106.3.
Punch right, Zach. 15 tip scissors. Can it to 300 jet F stick. X has got a quick high corner. Be ready to keep attacking.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
You've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accidents Attorneys are the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Kate Chumsen with you. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. Streaming live YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm as well. Cade, we're about a month away from the start of the NFL regular season, but we got preseason all throughout it. This is futures time. This is my favorite time of the year. And what I want to figure out with you, we'll do a bunch throughout the show. We'll save our over-under picks for the final Blitz the Book segment, which we'll have at the end of the show. We'll make our over-under win total picks. But since we're here now, let's make predictions on all of the major awards in the NFL. Do you want to save your Super Bowl champion for Blitz the Book?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's take that to the end.
All right. So we'll save that for the end of the show. But what we'll do is the individual awards we'll do now. So what we're going to do, MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then Coach of the Year. You want to do Offensive Player of the Year?
Yeah.
And then Defensive Player.
Let's do all six of them.
All right, so all six. All right, Kate, so let's save the MVP for the end. And because it's always tricky as well with usually the MVP is an offensive player. And then the Offensive Player of the Year has to be sort of somebody that is kind of like the MVP, but is not the MVP, but they're in a position that isn't usually the MVP, but they might be the MVP. Who was it? I believe it was Saquon last year or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, it was.
So that's always how that goes. And that's the trickiest one to put together. But all right, so awards odds. Most valuable player we will save. We will start with the Offensive Player of the Year. Just to throw some odds out there, we got Saquon at plus 600, Ja'Marr Chase at plus 900, Jahmyr Gibbs plus 1200. Cade, your Offensive Player of the Year prediction is going to be who?
Christian McCaffrey.
Wow. A return to glory.
Yes. All the way down there at plus 2,000. I think this is incredible value. when he is fully healthy. That's what you're banking plus 2,000 on whether this man can actually stay healthy. They lost Debo Samuel, the San Francisco 49ers, in this offseason. Brock Purdy is going to need all the help he can get, especially in the ground game, but also in the air game. Christian McCaffrey is one of the most elite running backs, I believe, still in the NFL. He just can't stay on the field. And if that's the case, I think, number one, he would probably win comeback player of the year, but also I think he has a really good shot at winning offensive player of the year if he can put up the numbers we've seen him do in the past, and he can help the 49ers make another run in the playoffs this year.
All right, that's an interesting one. Now, I think running back is usually the safer bet for offensive player of the year, because if Saquon got it last year, which Jamar Chase had a triple crown, and he didn't get it. So it's one of those things that it's a little tricky. But just off of looking at the odds, one that kind of popped out to me was Puka Nacua. And I'm just going to take a flyer here. Why do I say Puka Nacua? Because I think when healthy, he is a top five player at the position. Mm. And I think he plays with a quarterback that loves feeding a favorite receiver. Now, he was hurt last year. He played hurt in a couple games. He played 17 his rookie year. But I could see a little bit of an explosion from him. I really can. And it's because he's on a good team. They're not going to give that offensive player of the year to a player on a terrible team. I don't think the Bengals are going to be that good, which is why I'm leaning away from the Jamar Chase. You also don't get great odds there. Just off of the odds, plus 1,500, Puka Nacua. I have high expectations for him. And I also think he's the ultimate Swiss Army knife as a receiver. I'm a big fan of him. I think that would be a fun flyer to take. Plus 1,500, Puka Nacua. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Cade, your defensive player of the year prediction for the 2025-2026 season is going to be who?
If I were to put money on this, I'm going to go with Myles Garrett at plus 850. But if you want to get a little dicey, if you want to throw out a flyer, you had Patrick Surtain last year as a cornerback.
Which rarely happens.
First time we've seen that since, I believe it was Stephon Gilmore in 2019.
That's
you
right.
You want to go that route. We got Derek Stingley Jr. sitting there at plus 6,000.
Don't let that bias show.
No, I'm going to let the bias show.
Yeah, okay.
This man popped off last year with 5+ interceptions, vaulted himself into a top 5 player in that position. This defense for the Houston Texans is ready to go at it. Once again, they're in a ridiculously easy division when it comes to bad quarterbacks. I think he can take advantage of it there. He also made some massive plays in biggest moments against some of the other tough quarterbacks in the league last year. The offense really was the struggle for the Texans last year. I think this defense is primed to make another run. They kept everybody they needed to, and Derek Stingley Jr. is right there at the forefront. If you're looking for incredible value and take a flyer on another secondary member, I think Derek Stingley Jr. is a safer option with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I don't hate that one bit. Just off playing off the odds game, I think that's actually a pretty good idea. Now, for me, I'm all over the place here because I the first thing you said is right. I think that these players are very hard to predict because you're looking at an edge rusher more likely than not. Because outside of Gilmore and Surtain, you've had a whole lot of really nobody that has been able to do it. I'm looking at the odds here. One that surprised me, Jared Verse, who was a good player last year, plus 1,500, which is like the sixth best odds in defensive player of the year. I would stay far away from that. I'm a little away from the Rams here. T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons are my three. And Micah Parsons is plus 700. Myles Garrett is plus 850. T.J. Watt is plus 1,000. T.J. Watt is somebody that I think will get this award because I think, number one, that's the best team of the three. And I think he's due for a healthy, better season. He's signed. They're going to have a good defense again. T.J. Watt would be my pick because he won it, what, 3-4 years ago? He was second in voting for like 2 years running. Plus 1,000 is not terrible odds for a T.J. Watt, for a person that has gotten the award before. Give me T.J. Watt to get this award, plus 1,000. All right, Cade, your offensive rookie of the year. Let's go to the new guys. There's odds there. They're all over the place.
I don't think there's any other place you can go besides Ashton Gentry. I think he's going to be utilized. I think he's going to be good. Whether or not the offensive line, which is going to be the biggest weakness for the Las Vegas Raiders, is going to be any good, I don't really think matters to me. I think they're going to pound this rock as many times as possible. He did it in Boise State, and you know that Pete Carroll, unless it's 1 yard to go in the Super Bowl, you know he loves his running backs. So we're going to go with Ashton Dente.
And he's plus 260.
You know? I don't think there's another place to go here.
I understand the idea. You know what I'm thinking here? And I agree with you from the sense that he's probably going to be utilized the most in terms of game planning. I think Cam Ward's actually going to have a good year, too. He's plus 325. I don't like the odds there. The odds I do like are Travion Henderson for New England Patriots. He's a backup right now, but he's playing behind Ramondre Stevenson, somebody who is very comfortable playing in a two-back set because he played with Quinshon Judkins at Ohio State. Plus 2,250 for Travion Henderson. I could see that Patriot team really relying on that running game to make things easy for Drake May and really relying on the pass screen game, pass out of the backfield. That's Travion Henderson all over. I could see this guy being a big factor early. That will be my flyer. Plus 2,250 for Travion Henderson to get Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought about Travis Hunter plus 1,000, but I think Travis Hunter is going to be probably the most valuable rookie, but he's going to be playing both ways. So from that, he's not going to be the best or worst at either side. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Cade, your prediction is?
I'll take a little bit of a flyer on this one. How about Mike Green with the Baltimore Ravens at plus 1,300? Been looking at some reports. Everyone's loving him in camp so far. That is a perfect system for him. Plus 1,300, a Baltimore Raven linebacker? I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, right? Yeah, good system to be in if you're a linebacker. I'm taking Travis Hunter here. Travis Hunter is plus 1,100, a Defensive Rookie of the Year. I know. That was about offense. You know why I think this? I don't think Travis is even going to play every possession defensively, but I think he's going to have like 3 or 4 interceptions. And I think 3 or 4 interceptions alone would get you that award. He has got such good ball skills, and I've been following training camp. He plays every other day at different positions. People sort of avoid him, but I think as a defensive player, he's going to be targeted.
Don't let your bias show.
It's not fair. I am a Jags fan, so yes, let's get that out of the way. But I think Travis Hunter is going to be targeted quite a bit, and he's got better ball skills than a lot of the receivers he's going to be covering. Because of that, he's going to get a number of interceptions. If there is not a great player of the Jalen Walkers, Abdul Carters, the Mike Greens, in terms of statistical categories, 4 interceptions, a number of tackles, big-time plays, that I think will get you that award. I'm just thinking about what he could possibly do to get that award. I would take Travis Hunter plus 1,100. I know I just said that he's going to be playing both ways, so maybe he's not the best at either position, but I'm just thinking of pure stats. 4 interceptions is a lot, especially for a rookie. I could see Travis Hunter being not only an effective corner, but somebody who has the stats to back it up.
That would have won it last year against Jared Verse, I think.
Yeah.
So if you get another one of that
hodgepodge. And Jared Verse had like 5 sacks or 6 sacks, something like that. Travis Hunter, I think, will be forcing a couple turnovers throughout the year.
If that's the case, for sure.
All right. MVP. Most valuable player throughout this regular season.
Do we want to do Coach of the Year real quick?
Yeah, we'll do the Coach of the Year. Is that on Hard Rock Bet?
It's not on Hard Rock Bet, but do you want to throw one out there just in case?
Yeah, I do. Because I was on a couple different wavelengths here because Coach of the Year is a very tricky one. Sometimes they give it to the guy who goes worst to first. He makes a lot out of nothing. He kind of responds after injuries. And then sometimes they give it to the guy in the best team. You know, the guy who this team's the best. They got the best coaching staff. This, and this. Easy, simple. But weirdly enough, I think I'm between two here. I think I'm going to give this to Sean Payton. I think the Broncos are going to have a good year. I think I don't think the Chiefs are going to finish first in the division. I think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. I do not think they're going to win that division. I think the Broncos are. And to be that team to sort of, they always play the Chiefs tough, play in a tough division, get a lot out of it. I think they're going to have the number one defense in the NFL. I could see a second-year quarterback. I know there's not a lot of a story there because everybody's expecting them to be pretty good. But if they win 12 or so games and surprise some people, he will be well in the running for coach of the year. Give me Sean Payton as my flyer this year. I'm sure the odds are pretty good on that. If you find someone with odds, I would take Sean Payton of the Denver Broncos as my coach of the year.
Yep, no, that's a solid one. The last 3 years straight, it's been the same story.
Yeah.
A team that you didn't think had a prayer during this when the season started somehow makes the playoffs.
Right.
Last year it was Kevin O'Connell. The year before that, it was Kevin Stefanski with the Browns. The year before that, it was Brian Daboll with the New York Giants. And the year before that, I think might have been another Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
Or 2 years before that, right? That's been the last 3 to 5 years. So I'm just going to try to play that trend. What's a team that I don't think has a prayer to start the year is going to make the playoffs? I don't have one that is super obvious to me, but when it comes to best odds, taking a situation from horrible to pretty good, it's got to be Mike Vrabel. I sounds like a cop-out answer, but when you look at where the Patriots were the moment Bill Belichick left to what they could be this season.
And what they were last year.
If all things go well in that weak division, like you said, I think Mike Vrabel is a clear candidate for this award.
What about Dave Canales of the Carolina Panthers? Are you high on the Panthers?
I'm not as high as everyone else. I think
I'm high on the Panthers.
When I say not as high, I'm saying better than last year, like 7-8 wins, but not a playoff team.
Okay. I think that team could really surprise some people. I don't know. There's something about them.
I've been hearing that. Like, I don't know if that's a surprise anymore. I've been hearing that everywhere. Oh, watch out for the Panthers. They showed some stuff last year. They got some parts. Yada, 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 yada.
The reason I really like them is they played a lot of great teams.
Really well last year. They went to a lot of overtime games. They spoiled a lot of teams last year.
Went after the Chiefs. They went after the Eagles. They should have beaten the Eagles, and they were one of the two teams, them and the Rams, to only play the Eagles tough in the last 8 weeks of the year. So keep that in mind. But that would be my, if there's a flyer to follow the same mold, Dave Canales would be my flyer. But I understand Mike Vrabel's an easy answer there because it was a bad situation. He sort of inherited a bunch of pretty good players with a lot of capital with a terrible defense. And if they can make the postseason somehow, like we said, bad division, get Mike Parsons in there, who else are you going to give it to?
Yeah.
Especially if you capitalize the most out of Drake May, he sort of blossoms as this really capable quarterback. And he had a good year last year, but it really blossoms. That would be a no-brainer. I would agree. That would be the Kevin O'Connell of this year. All right. Those were our picks. Let's finish off with the MVP. All right. So MVP, Cade, your pick is what?
It's Lamar Jackson.
No.
Plus 475.
Are him and Allen just going to be trading it back and forth, you know, for the foreseeable future?
They could be. I don't think Joe Burrow puts up the same numbers. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is as good. I think Jaden Daniels has a fall from grace moment. Jalen Hurts won't put up the number. I'm just looking at the Hard Rock Bet app right now. It's going to be either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I think this is Lamar Jackson's time to shine, not just statistically for an MVP. I think the Ravens are going to be really good this year.
Plus 475. Not terrible odds there. I'm going to take a flyer just for the heck of it.
Yeah, go for it.
And I don't know if you're going to lie. I think I'm surprised you didn't go this direction. What about CJ Stroud?
There's a huge potential there. There
plus 2250.
I don't hate that pick. I'm not going to do it to my own guy
as
a pick.
Yes, right.
Because I'm pretty sure I almost did it last year and got really disappointed.
Right.
But he had this unbelievable rookie season. He comes down. I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a similar fall. Not as
dramatic.
Yes, but he's definitely not going to be able to completely back up what he did last year, in my opinion. So CJ Stroud, he has that moment. You haven't really heard about him this offseason. He's been really quiet. He's not doing as much of a social media tour like he did last summer.
Good news.
I cannot believe when you said that last year. You're like, man, he's way too much in the press. I don't think he's focusing on football as much. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. So you haven't heard much about him. I think he's trying to build with this offensive line and these wide receivers really well. They had a great draft, in my opinion, when it came to wide receivers. The offensive line is obviously still going to be the main struggle. Nick Chubb is not a bad shout as a backup running back with Joe Mixon having lingering injuries. Bad division. They've played so far.
How's the revamped offensive line?
It's different. It's not revamped. It's just straight different. I think there's four different guys in there.
Right.
Which sometimes...
So you're not going to know until you play games.
Yeah. Which sometimes just different equals better, especially for your spirits.
Can't be that much worse than last year.
No, it truly can't.
I think this is a good flyer. I really do. And you know what? I hate saying that about a division rival because I do not like the Texans, but the Texans have a good defense. They have a very capable shot of, you know, winning 11, 12 games. And if he's, you know, in the 30-40 range in the touchdown passes, sort of like his rookie year on a, you know, maybe an 11-12 win team, he's going to be in the running. And maybe there's going to be a little bit of voter. I'm banking on voter fatigue, too. Lamar's is going to be great. We know Lamar's going to be great. Will that 38 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 8 rushing touchdowns, and an 11-win season for the Ravens, will that do it again? If he didn't get it last year when he had 41 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. At a certain point, you're going to get the Jokic effect where if it's not better than the year before when this happened, even though it's contextual year by year, how can he get it the following year if his stats are not on par or better than what they were?
I hear you.
CJ Stroud, maybe they're looking for some new a new face in there.
They were looking for him last year for sure. Everyone was. Yeah. Everyone said, hey, great rookie season.
And I like that. Team. He's sort of, you got beat up. Yes. You kind of got pounded a little bit. Kept to yourself. Yep. You got rid of your offensive coordinator. Now let's see what you can do.
Yep. I'm
off the odds. Plus 2250.
All of that, but I need to see it.
Plus 2250 is the odds for CJ Stroud. That's what I will take. That closes out our individual awards prediction for the NFL season. How about that? So to close out, I did Puka Nacua as my, I don't know how I feel about that now, but Puka Nacua, TJ Watt, Travion, TJ Watt is defensive player of the year. Puka Nacua is offensive player of the year. Travion Henderson is offensive rookie of the year. Travis Hunter is defensive rookie of the year. So my offensive players are Puka and TJ Watt, and my rookies are Travion Henderson on the Patriots and Travis Hunter defensively for the Jaguars.
My players are Christian McCaffrey at plus 2,000, Derek Stingley Jr. as plus 6,000, trying to go for some serious value on those.
Yeah, right.
The rookies, not so much, Ashton Jeanty and Mike Green. I'll take the cop-out answer at Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year and Lamar Jackson as MVP.
And my Coach of the Year flyer will be Sean Payton. My flyer's Dave Canales, but I'm taking Sean Payton. And then my MVP, CJ Stroud, plus 2250 on the odds. Playing the odds game there.
Love it.
We'll do a little Blitz the Book with some MLB picks post-deadline on the flip side as we close out the first hour of a two-hour edition of Sunday Huddle right here, ESPN 106.3.
.631 smash, F-Track sneak on one alert to smash on one. Ready?
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Kate Chumson with you at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on a beautiful Sunday morning right here in South Florida. A hot Sunday morning, the 3rd of August, 2025. Football season is edging closer, and it's no better time to get started on the Hard Rock Bet app. Go download today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet to get started today. College football is going to be back soon. You got UFC. You know, table tennis is the 5th most popular sport on Hard Rock Bet. You could serve a winner today yourself. Matches last as little as 10 minutes. You can watch your bet play out in the in-app live streams. How about that? So you could bet table tennis and then watch the match and then be done with it in 10 minutes. That's no wonder it's popular. That sounds like a blast. You got to get started on that. And you want to get a big win? Put a parlay together. Increase your odds. A player in Florida cashed a $10 parlay for just over $20,000 last month. That's can be you. Your shot is one bet away, one slip away, one parlay away from greatness. If you're even unsure what to bet, check out the Discover page. You can see what other users put together. Tap, tag along. It's that easy. And you get $150 in bonus bets if you deposit just $5. $5 turned into $150 because of the bonus bets over on Hard Rock Bet. Try it now. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling. Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. All right, so we got two Blitz the Books today because we got a two-hour edition of Sunday Huddle. So we'll do one at the end of this hour, and we'll be doing one in just about an hour from now. Cade, we'll keep this one MLB-centric because we got our MLB picks to make post-deadline. Let's have some fun. Let's Blitz the Book. What's the Book? Presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. All right, Cabe, we got a full slate of games today on a Sunday edition, and also there's a couple games starting early today as well. So what we do is we're going to take two games to win straight up, and we were going to take a player prop and an over-under.
Yes, right? Sir.
So what are our stats here? You have everything up in front of you.
Yeah, so I got one more on you last week. I went 2 for 2, and you went 1 for 3. So currently out of 4 weeks, 4 picks a week, you are 7-9. I am 4-12.
All right. Wow, 4-12. Jeez. All right.
Hey.
Now you're getting there. That's all that matters.
I'm 4-4 in my last 2 weeks.
All right. All right, you're getting there. All right, Kate, let's start with our straight-up picks. We got to make two of them. And what's screaming to you? What do you like?
How about the New York Mets against the San Francisco Giants? The Mets doing good. Giants, not so much. It's only minus 170, but I'll take the easy Mets here.
I like that pick. Not a bad pick at all. All right, I'm on a couple different wavelengths here because the New York Yankees have been an absolute disaster. Dare I say the Miami Marlins sweep them today at Lone Depot Park, 1:40 p.m.? Dare I say that Miami Marlins have won 4 in a row. They've won emphatically the other night. They're going against Luis Gill tonight. I'm going to take the Miami Marlins, minus 105. Minus 105 Miami Marlins over the New York Yankees. Cade, what's your next one?
I tried picking the Cubbies against the Milwaukee Brewers last week, and they burned me. I'll take Milwaukee this time, though. They're playing the Washington Nationals, minus 175 for the away team favorite, but I will take the Brewers.
Yeah, Brewers have been playing great. I mean, they had a quiet deadline, classic Brewers, but they got Andrew Vaughn in there. They made up a couple of good call-ups. It's a classic Brewer team. You know, you don't know if they're great, but you know they're going to be there. But this is as good as they've ever been in terms of this point in the regular season. They're 22 games above 500. So they're clearly a lot better than what we're used to. But again, the Brewers are sort of like the Mets. The Mets are always going to Met. The Brewers are always going to Brewer. So I postseason odds, I always waver on the side of caution there. All right, the Red Sox won 2 straight against Houston. I'm going to take Houston today. It's at Fenway. Houston's not going to get swept by Boston post-deadline. They're not doing that. I'm going to take this just off the odds game. Minus 130, their favorite in today's matchup. Houston versus Boston. And Houston, were buyers at the deadline, and they also have Framber Valdez on the mound against Giolito. So it's a good pitching matchup, but Valdez is one of the best pitchers in the American League. Give me Houston to win straight up. Cade, your over-under pick for the day is what?
As we've seen with the Rockies and Pirates, two bad teams equals shootouts. I'm going to go with that strategy this time. How about the Twins and Guardians?
Well, they traded all their pitchers. Yeah.
Give me the Twins and Guardians over 8.5.
Okay. Interesting. I am on a couple different teams here because I was looking at the A's because the A's have been playing well offensively, but they stunk yesterday. A's Arizona is 9.5, too. That's a high over-under. You know, Pittsburgh, Colorado is 11.5.
I did see that. That's crazy.
Oh, my
crazy.
God. Jeez. Traded all their relievers, so they're just going to give up 100 runs. I'm going to switch it over really quick. How about the teams that just loaded up on a couple sluggers? Texas, Seattle today is 7.5. I'm going to take the over on that because Texas, of course, has the offense available, but more importantly, Seattle has 2 big sluggers in the lineup finally. Now, DeGrom is on the mound today. But will DeGrom going to go? Is he going to go 7 scoreless? Probably not. We need 3-4 runs. Give me the Texas-Seattle over today, 7.5. Cade, your player prop for today's slate of games is what?
I'm going to go back to a game you already mentioned, Houston-Boston. I agree with you. Houston's not going to get swept by Boston. Newly acquired returner, I should say, Carlos Correa. I think he gets a hit today. But if you go on the Hard Rock Bet app and you bet on Carlos Correa for just a hit, it's minus 300. If you can actually predict what he's going to do with that one hit, your odds increase significantly. Let's say he gets a double. Carlos Correa, a double over 1.5, plus 300. Give me some plus money on that one.
Now, I love making these picks for some odd reason. I don't know, but I'm already kind of sold on it. Giancarlo Stanton to hit a home run today back at Lone Depot is plus 425. Just to hit a homer. Just to hit a homer. Give me Giancarlo to hit a homer today over 0.5 homers, plus 425 at the odds. I like that. good odds. I'm playing the odds game today. So that closes out our MLB picks. Cade's got four. I got four. Cade's 4-12. I'm 7-9. 7-8.
Yeah. 7-9.
7-9. So I need a big week here. And I made three picks on Hard Rock Bet on Friday, and I bet against three sellers. I won 3-0. So I was like, oh, come on. Come on. Of course, it doesn't count for this. We got to get into the second hour, and we got to make some more predictions because this is a prediction-based show today. And I want to make a couple predictions on our big surprise teams, our big letdown teams. Who do we really think? And more importantly, August, this is fantasy football season. People are going to be making their drafts, organizing their drafts, completing their drafts in the next couple weeks. Let's come up with three league winners apiece. We'll do that on the flip side. That's Cade Chums and Colin Russo. Second hour, Sunday Huddle, coming up after this on ESPN 106.3.